Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Perspective Transformation Radio, enjoying its 10th anniversary, often the number one live airing broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and reaching a global audience of over 185,000 listeners. During this hour-long interview-style program, you'll meet perspective transformers who come to share their most pivotal, life-changing insights and aha moments, offering you instant access to life, leadership, and God-loving seismic shifts of your own. We encourage you to invite friends to join you here now, or share quotes with attribution, and also reach out to our sponsor, WomenSpeakers.com. WomenSpeakers.com is the most popular online connecting place for Christian event planners and Christian women speakers since 2002. I'm your host, Marnie Swedberg, and I encourage you to grab a notepad and get ready to meet today's Perspective Transformer. Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, and you're joining us for God's Surprising and Big Plans with our guest today, Sharon Wilharm. During this next hour, you're going to discover the stories behind these truths, that when God closes a door, he doesn't want to sneak it through windows. When God calls us to do something, he doesn't always mean for us to do it immediately. That God is the master of out-of-the-box thinking. And what a blessing it is that God doesn't limit himself to our puny prayers. We're going to talk about when God calls us to do Goliath's tasks, he also provides the slingshot, how God takes each of the pieces of our past and applies them to our future. You'll be learning about ideas are a dime a dozen, but it's what you do with them that really counts. The world judges us by their understanding of Christianity. And when you're beat down so low, there's nowhere else to look. Look up. That's when we look up and see the face of God. Our speaker and guest today is Sharon Wilharm. She's a female filmmaker and a public speaker who has been part of the movie industry for over a decade. Sharon views life from a filmmaker's perspective. She loves entertaining, inspiring, and encouraging women with her stories of reels and heels. And you can learn more about her at her website, SharonWilharm.com. Welcome to you, Sharon. So excited to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Marnie. I am so excited to be here.
Well, I have loved your ministry since I learned about it a few years ago, and just love your heart. You are a God seeker, and it's fun to hear your stories. I'm excited to get to share some of these today with our listeners because you have seen God do some pretty cool things and maybe some surprising things in your life and through your life. And so as we get going, I just encourage you guys to take some notes as well as just prayerfully consider what God may be inspiring in your heart. So Sharon, let's go ahead and dive right in with your first quote, which is, when God closes a door, he doesn't want us sneaking through windows.
Yes, well, you know, when I was growing up, like it seemed like everybody was always telling me that. You know, they would always say, oh, if God closed the door, you just look for a window. And it seemed like really good advice. And I'm a very determined person and persevering. So I'm like, okay, I can do this. And so that's what I would do. And every time, you know, I would think this is what God's calling me to do. And then he would close the door. I was always looking for the window. And perhaps the biggest example was in speaking. And I remember the first time I ever stepped in front of an audience, and I'm like, oh, I like this. You know, this is cool. I like being up here. And then it was a number of years later that I was in college, and we were at this BCM, Baptist Campus Ministries event, and they had this powerful speaker that was calling people to go into various areas of service, and it was a wonderful sermon, and I remember listening to it, and I was like, oh God, this is so exciting, you know, and I felt him calling me to do something, and I was just like, you know, okay, God, this is great, what am I supposed to do? And I very clearly heard God say, I'm calling you to do something, but I can't tell you right now. I'm like, what does that even mean? You know. So But later on, God gave me a vision, and it was with me. And this is the only time I've ever had a vision like that. But it, I very clearly saw myself on the stage, and I was speaking to these people, and the excitement level was great, and it was packed out. There was all these people, and I was up on the stage, and the lights were on me. And the problem was that the people were in the dark, and I couldn't see who they were. And I couldn't see what I was, hear what I was saying. And I was like, oh, you know, God, this is great. This is wonderful. You want me to speak to people. And so I literally spent so long trying to force it to happen. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't what God wanted me to do right then. He was, you know, giving me a vision for later. And the Bible is full of that. You know, how often in the Bible does God say, this is what's going to happen, and everybody gets so excited? You know, probably the most famous example is with Sarah. You know, she knew she was going to be the mother of nations, or at least God had promised her husband that he was going to have, you know, all these descendants. And so she took things into her own hands. She looked for a window and all the problems that it caused. And, you know, just recently I ran across, we were at my parents' house, and I saw this little canvas that I had painted when I was a teenager, and it had a picture of a door, and it had a window. And it said, when God closes a door, look for a window. And all of a sudden it hit me, and I'm like, no. You know, I have been looking for windows my whole life. Mm. And God, when he's ready, he swings open the front door. And it's like, welcome, come on in. He doesn't want us like some kind of criminal sneaking around in the bushes trying to crawl in an unlocked window. And so, you know, I try to remember that now when I find myself wanting to go through a window because God isn't answering the way I want him to answer.
It's really interesting. It's kind of a fun step back and look at that same phrase that we've heard our entire lives. You know, when God closes the door, just look for a window. But I was thinking, as you're talking about Revelations, it talks about how the God opens the doors for us. That, and I have this picture of me being a little toddler with my arm up over my head holding onto my daddy's hand, you know, and that I go up to a door and I push it. If it doesn't open, I'm so little. If I can't open it, I just go to the next door and I just wait until the door opens that he's opening for me instead of me trying to use my muscles to push it open, which is, I think, kind of the gist of what you're saying here is, you know, if we wait for God to open the doors, those are the ones that we want to walk through. I love that, too, the concept of him showing you a vision, but it wasn't for right now. I've had that happen in my life as well, where you have a vision, but then you have to wait for it. And it's not that you're supposed to go make it happen right now.
Yeah. And see, that's where, you know, I so often, like, you know, I'm like, this is a good thing. I'm supposed to be doing it. Why are the doors closing? You know, and I'm just doing my hardest to slam that door open. And, you know, that's not how God works.
Well, and that kind of goes into your next one, which is when God calls us to do something, he doesn't always mean for us to do it immediately.
No, and that is like my hardest lesson in life, because I am a go-getter, you know, and I'm like, I am ready to work. You know, some people, they're afraid to follow God, but I've always been like, oh, God, I want to do great things, and, you know, I just want to do all this stuff, and I kind of leave God behind sometimes because I get running ahead and just forget that he's supposed to be leading. But, you know, I shared the story about when I had that vision, and I thought for sure I was going to be speaking to these people. And so I tried to make it happen in various ways, and I did. I would, you know, through the years, I would speak to all these different people, but it wasn't turning out the way I thought. And I kept, you know, praying, God, I don't get it. I'm supposed to be going through this door. You gave me this vision. Why isn't it happening? And then God called us into making movies, and it was not something that I wanted to do at all. It was my husband. He had always wanted to do it, and I kind of got dragged into it, and I went kicking and screaming, going, I don't want to do this, God. This is not what I want to do. But then one night we were having a movie screening, and we were at a church, And I, whenever we would have a movie screening, I would get up in front and introduce it and everything. And at this particular one, it was the first screening of this movie. And we were at a church, and it was packed out. And, I mean, the excitement level was so high. And I'm standing up there on that stage introducing it, and the lights are on me, and the audience is in the dark, and all of a sudden it hits me. Hmm. This was it. But I thought that I was going, you know, I had seen the vision differently, and God was saying, hey, I've got a different way for you to speak to those people. And so he used movies for me to speak before he really gave me a speaking platform. And it's really funny because that particular movie I was introducing was a silent movie. And so it's like God took the girl who loved to talk and took this movie that doesn't have dialogue, and it has literally been around the world, and they've been able to use it in other countries because there's no dialogue. So there's no, you don't have to have, you know, subtitles or anything. And it's just so funny that how God did that.
That is so cool. I remember one time a lady called me and she said, Marnie, I don't know what you're going to think about this, but I'm going to tell you something. She said, I hope you can receive it. And she told me that she had had a vision of me, and it was me, and I was standing in front of a group of women, and I was, it was like I was handing out white robes, and they were dancing in their white robes, and I was up in the front, and I was just laughing. I was just in joy. I was just laughing, laughing. This happened. And I said, wow, well, that's really cool. I don't know what to think about it either, but that's really cool. And then years later, when I was in Africa, I had an experience that was just that. God showed me this is that moment. And I was standing, I was watching the women worship, and they had just received a lot of freedom in the spirit. And I was standing there laughing just in the spirit, just so happy to see their joy and delight. And just, it just hit me, here I am. And, you know, what you say, this quote, when God calls you to do something, he doesn't always mean for you to go out and do it immediately. So many people in the Bible had to wait. I think about Moses, especially. You know, I mean, God had the calling on his life since he was born. But he was way older by the time he started his ministry. Joseph, David, I mean, so many people had to wait a long time before they saw Noah, you know, 100 years to build an ark. So to just be very patient and to just continue to trust God. That's so cool. The next one is God is the master of out-of-the-box thinking.
And, you know, like, you know, when first when God, when I had that experience at BCM retreat, and, you know, when I felt God calling me, but it's like, you don't even know what I'm calling you to do. I can't tell you. And if God had told me at that moment, someday you're going to make movies, I would have just, I mean, I would have just laughed. I mean, I would have been like Sarah when he said, you're going to have a baby. I would have just laughed because I didn't even watch movies. I read books. I was a bookworm. And, you know, I'd gone to a few movies, but it was not something that I was interested in. And it's just so wild to think that God would take somebody that read books and pair them up with, you know, a guy who wanted to make movies, but he's, my husband is very quiet and very reserved, and I'm the outgoing one. And so he had this dream to do this, but he couldn't do it on his own. And God's like, I've got to put you two together. And together you're going to have the skills that you're going to need to do this. But it's so out of the box, you know, for us to be, you know, we're not Hollywood people. We're just two very ordinary people. And so it's so cool how I would have done things a lot more boring, I think, than he would have.
I was thinking about when I was in school, I struggled all the way through school. I really didn't learn how to read proficiently until I was an adult. I was just always struggling. And then finally, when I was out from under the pressure of school, my mind freed up and I was able to read. And then I just couldn't stop reading. I was just reading everything. But to look back now and find, you know, I've written 13 books, and I was the little girl that couldn't read. And I think that what you're saying here is this, we limit our own thinking to what we think we can do, what we view as our strengths or as our areas of interest. And God's perspective of things is so much greater than that.
Yes. so much. You know, can I go back? I just realized something I didn't share about God waiting, because I have another really cool story that I want to share. We did a movie called Providence, and, you know, I said how we had done the one silent movie, and it did. We used it with missionaries and things like that, and it was an evangelistic movie because it was about a Bible being passed to all these people. And then we were getting ready to make another movie, and it was a love story about this couple that had they met as children, and they knew each other through the years, but they didn't get together until they were adults. And as I started writing it, I realized I wasn't writing dialogue. And so I was like, you know, I can't believe I'm making another silent film, because, like, when we did the first one, we would send it to distributors, and they would, like, I like it, but I don't know what to do with this. You know, like, what do you do with a silent film? And we finally found a place, but I was like, God, we're making another silent movie. This doesn't make any sense. This one's a love story. This isn't even evangelistic. But I knew that God was telling us to do it, and so we made the movie. And then it got time for us to do something about it, you know, like to get it out. And we wanted to try to get it into at least a theater. And we were looking into options because we didn't know anything about theatrical up to that point. We'd just done DVD. And so we asked, we started looking online, and we found this thing about AMC Independent. And it had this form, and it said, hey, if you'd like to enter your film in AMC Independent to be considered in AMC theaters, just fill out this form. And so it was late at night, and we filled it out, and I was literally laughing as I filled it out, because I'm like, this is so funny. You know, we've got this silent, faith-based love story, and I'm submitting it to AMC. You know, this is funny. But I filled it out, and then like an hour later, we got a response and said, hey, can we see the screener and your marketing plan? And it was like, okay, we don't have a marketing plan because we weren't really planning on doing this, but we put something together, you know. It's like, okay, this is really cool. And so they accepted us into the AMC Independent, and then they said, what you need to do is each theater will make a decision. So you can submit to the different AMC theaters, and then they will decide whether they want to show your movie or not. And it was going to be like a full week-long, full theatrical release, which was way beyond anything we were expecting. But we didn't have any AMC theaters in Tennessee. And so it was really cool because with that particular movie, we had cast from all over the United States. So I just put out a word to everybody. I'm like, hey, you know, if you have an AMC theater near you, just let us know, and we'll submit to them, because we wanted to do them where we had some kind of following. And so one of our lead actors, Rich Swingle, lived in New York City. And he said, okay, you need to submit to AMC Empire because it's the one at Times Square. And we're like, Rich, really? We're not going to get it to AMC Empire, you know? Maybe Oklahoma City or, you know, Atlanta. But he's like, well, what have you got to lose? So we submitted, and they accepted us. And we're like, oh, my goodness, that's crazy. And then he shared this story with us. He said, years ago, he and his wife had moved to Manhattan, and right after they moved there, they went to go see a movie at the Empire. And he said as he was coming down that escalator, he prayed that someday he would be going down that escalator after having seen himself in a movie that had screened there. And he had never been in a movie before at that point. He was a theatrical actor, so he traveled around doing this one-man show. But from that point on, he started doing some movies, and he had been in, I think about 12, somewhere between 12 and 20 movies he had been in before ours. And he had been in some pretty big movies like Beyond the Mask and Alone Yet Not Alone, but he had smaller parts in those. And those didn't end up showing in AMC Empire. But our little movie where he had his first romantic lead, that's the one that made it. And I'm like, how sweet is God? It took 8 years from the first time he prayed. But God just went overboard, because he could have given him a big movie where Rich had a small part, but he gave him a little movie where he had a big part, just to show how awesome God was.
That is so cool. That's so cool. And I think that the key is to remember that just because we get a vision doesn't mean that we're supposed to go make it happen. We'll have a part in it, of course. But I always do this thing. You guys can do this with me right now, where you put your thumb and your first finger together as close as you can, but not touching, you know, just leave as small of a space as possible between that thumb and that first finger. And I always say, that's my part. And then if you stretch your arms out both ways, one arm out to each side, like the cross, just stretch it both out. And then I say, that's God's part. You know, and I love to
yeah.
that, of course, I'll have something that I get to do, some small part. But to just remember that my part will be very insignificant and small compared to what God does, it keeps things in perspective and keeps us humble and really grateful. Then when it comes around, then the only response we have is gratitude instead of like, well, finally, or, you know, whatever else we might experience. Yeah. You have another
thing. Yeah, it keeps
you
humble.
Oh, go ahead. It does. It does, and that's where God likes us to be in a position of dependence mm-hmm. and gratitude, instead of in a position of demanding that He hurries up and does it our way. The next one that you have is, what a blessing it is that God doesn't limit Himself to our puny prayers. And I like that one so much. I remember years ago when I was playing piano for worship service. And every Sunday before I'd go out, I would stand in the back room and my prayer would be, God, please let me not mess up and be a distraction this morning. And that was what I would pray every Sunday. And then one Sunday I was praying that same puny prayer and God just put in my heart, Marnie, really, is that the best you can ask for? And I was like, oh, right. I suppose I could pray that you would use me to maybe drop me into worship or something, you know, instead of just help me to not be a total mess up, you know. But I love this one because God doesn't limit Himself to our puny prayers.
No. I mean, so many times I can think back of all these times that I prayed, and like you, I was just praying for just little things, you know, like, God, just give me the bare minimum kind of things. Because, I mean, like with our movie, like with that, like with Providence, all I was thinking of is maybe we could be in one theater, you know, just one local theater. And, you know, that's all, that was the limit of my prayers, of my dream. And God is like, I can do so much more. Just go ahead and not test, but, you know, just see what I can do. And, you know, it's okay to pray big. God may not give us big, but He's certainly capable. And I feel so often we limit ourselves to just those little things that I know we were in a ICVM is like, it's the International Christian Visual Media. I think that's what it stands for. But it's like the film industry organization. And we entered Providence in that, and we were just kind of like, okay, God, just if we could just get nominated, because in that one, it's only just nominations. And so, you know, different ones are nominated for different things. And we were like, okay, God, if we could just get nominated, that would be amazing. And that's where, you know, you have all the big films and everything. And that was the extent of my vision or my prayer for that. And then not only did God end up getting us nominated, we ended up getting nominated for 4 awards. And I was like, wow, that is so crazy. And so we were perfectly happy with those 4 nominations. We were just excited. We were up against War Room and Beyond the Mask and all these amazing movies. Mm. And in that case, once we got nominated and we were going to the awards, I was just like, God, you know who needs those awards? I don't care about the awards. I am perfectly happy just being nominated. You know, thank you, thank you. And I just felt so grateful that we were just nominated. I didn't care about winning. And we ended up winning 4 awards.
Wow.
God, that is so crazy. And I think a lot of it is, I was like, you know who needs it. And I guess He decided we needed it because we had decided we weren't making any more movies. And as a result of that, we ended up making Summer of 67 because I was like, well, obviously God's trying to tell us something because I said, who needs it? We didn't need it, so I guess we need to make another movie. But another time when we were first married, we had coin laundries. And my husband had a chain of them when we first got married, and so I kind of fell into it. And we lived in Florida where there were hurricanes, and every time a hurricane would come, we were always worried about it getting, you know, hit by a hurricane. And one hurricane came, and it did hit Pensacola where we were at. And when we were coming back to check on the laundromats, there was one area, we knew that area had been hit really hard. And so the whole time we're praying, as we're heading, you know, down the streets to get to it, my husband was just like, just let us have walls, just let us have walls, just let us have walls, because we had heard that as long as you had walls, they wouldn't make, you know, you could rebuild. But if you lost the walls, they would make you tear down the building and, you know, you'd have to start from scratch.
Huh.
So he's just praying, let us have walls, let us have walls. So we're just driving along, and we get there, and all we have is walls. We have no roof. The windows are gone.
Wow.
We had walls. And we're like, you know, we should have prayed for more. And I guess God gave us exactly what we prayed for.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think sometimes that's okay too, but I do think he wants to, I think he really does want to bless us more. And I love how you phrased this, that it's a blessing that God doesn't limit himself to our puny prayers, and that we can just trust him for big things. And even when we only have enough faith for just walls. I mean, you were actually grateful for walls. You know, I mean, walls were. You know, walls were what you really needed in order to avoid having to start over. When we were selling our store and our restaurant up north, I remember the store itself, the building was extremely difficult to sell. It was just a very large building in a town that didn't really need another store. And so we knew that would be really hard to sell. But early on, God just put a phrase in my heart that I just kept saying over and over. And as I'd be like cleaning the warehouse and as I'd be, you know, just working in the store during the time before it sold, I would just pray for the perfect buyer on the perfect day in the perfect way with the perfect pay. And I would just keep praying that over and over. And however perfect was, I don't mean like perfect, like from my perspective, I just meant from God's perspective, you just send us the perfect one. And how it ended up in the end was just so amazing. The people that bought it didn't even do anything with it. They just gave us money to have the building there empty for over 2 years with nothing happening in it. They just bought it almost as if they bought it so that we could move. When I think about God and how he does things, it is so amazing that he's willing to go beyond our limited thinking and our small prayers and to give us his best, actually, to give us what he has in mind instead of just what we can conjure up in our minds.
Oh, I know. And see, that's what is such a relief to me, to think that I don't have to pray the perfect prayers for God to bless me with what I need. You know, if I pray puny, he can still bless me. If I pray big, he can still, you know, like, it's not really about what he does. It's more of us just being thankful for whatever he does, because he knows best. He knows so much better what we need than we do.
It kind of goes into your next one, too, which is when God calls us to Goliath tasks, he provides the slingshot. So not only does he have the idea, but then he provides the resources we need to carry it out.
He does. There are so many times in my life that I just feel so inadequate to the task. And, you know, I'm just thinking, God, why on earth did you call me to do this? There are so many people that are more talented that know so much. Why are you calling me to this? But, you know, God is always making it clear, this is what you're supposed to do, and all you can do is your best. And I think of when my daughter was in high school. She competed in National History Day, and it was her passion. She just loved it, and she went on to nationals twice and had gone to state. But one year, she'd gone to like nationals the year before, and she didn't even win at regionals, and she was just devastated. And, you know, we were just kind of horrified, like, this is her thing, and she'd worked so hard. And our Secretary of State, Trey Hargett, he was one of the, like, special guests there, and he was giving out the awards. And he saw her out in the audience, and these big tears are falling down from her, and she's trying to be brave, but, you know. And so he kind of motioned for her to come over, and, you know, she didn't know who he was, and he walked over, and he's like, "Are you all right?" And she's like, "Yeah, you know, but I didn't win." And he said, "Well, did you do your best?" And she's like, well, yeah. And he's like, "Well, then that's all that matters."
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, she ended up having an internship with him. Which turned out to be really cool and a lot of cool things. But, you know, I always remind, did you do your best? Well, then that's all you need to do. And that's all God expects is he calls us, he expects us to do it, and he just takes care of the rest.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the principle that I teach is the flow through vessel, you know, where we aren't supposed to be performing for God, you know, like performing to get his applause or anything like that. But instead, we're supposed to allow him to flow his life and love through us, to us first, and then through us to everyone around us. And I love that we can't give something away that we don't have. So, for example, if her best wasn't good enough to win that competition, but it was her best, that's all she was expected to do. She wasn't expected to do more than she could do. And yet when God calls us to do something in particular, if it's of him, he's going to give us the resources we need to complete it. We can count on that. We can, you know, Noah building the ark. I think a lot about him. Cause I feel like a lot, that's like my life. I supposed to eventually mentor millions of women around the world is the vision in my heart. And it's like kind of building Noah's ark. You just have to keep working at it. Put the nail in the wood today, here and there, and watch what God's doing. You know, but it doesn't all happen all at once. And with Noah's Ark, you think about all the resources he would have needed to put that thing together. I mean, how would he even begin to come up with enough resources to build that ark? And yet he did. He built the whole thing. When God calls us to do something, you know, he provides the resources. When God calls us to take down a Goliath, he provides the slingshot and even the skill to, you know, to shoot it right and hit it right. The other one you have here is that God takes each of the pieces of our past and applies them to our future. I love that.
Yes, I love how it's like he's taking these pieces and he's saying, you know, someday you're going to need this piece. And you're going to need this experience, and this is all going to come into play. And, you know, it really came into play with us as filmmakers because, you know, when I thought I was going to marry someone in the ministry. I just felt confident that God wanted me to be a pastor's wife or I was going to be a missionary's wife or whatever. And so I just knew that's what I was going to do. And then I was actually registered for seminary, and I was all set to go when Fred and I started dating. And it was very confusing because I was like, I know that I'm supposed to be marrying him, but this doesn't make any sense, God. You know, I'm supposed to be doing this. And he was a business owner, and I remember walking down the aisle looking at him going, God, I am so confused because I thought I was supposed to do these things for you, and this man owns coin laundries, and I know he's never going to be a preacher. You know, I know this, and I don't understand, but I just knew God's like, trust me. And it's just so cool to see how he had these technical skills, and he, you know, knew all about the camera and the editing, and I had all these little things that I had done in my past. I had been a writer. I was a journalist, but, you know, I had a writing background, and I had been a teacher, and I had directed drama at church, and it was like God took all those skills, and when we started making movies, each of them came out. And you know how you were talking about with Noah and the Ark, the thing that's always stood out with me is that he built the ark, and he didn't have to go round up the animals. They came to him.
Right.
And so I've always been amazed. Like, I do the work, like, you know, when we've made movies, it's like I make the movie, but then God is the one who's responsible for getting it where it needs to be. He knows who needs to see that movie. And I always think about, you know, with all the animals, it's like he'll bring the people to him, whoever needs to see it. And I think, too, when I've made a movie, I feel it's so important that, again, I can't control where it's going to go, but I can control the making of it. And so it's so important to me that I use that as a witness to all those people that are involved, and that the whole movie making process is a witness to God. And, you know, we're working on this, we're working together. He's taking all these little strengths that each one of these people has and putting them all together so that together we can create this story that is going to impact lives. And I had this experience, our first movie that we did, well, not the first one, but the first one that we did for distribution. And I didn't know what I was doing at all. I mean, I was really bad because I didn't know how to be a filmmaker. I was still learning. And we had this one scene where we had all these people in this scene, and it should have been more, but a lot of them didn't show up. So it was really bad because it was supposed to be this class reunion, and we had all these people that were supposed to come, and they didn't, and it was just chaos. And then we had ordered some barbecue that was going to be our lunch, and they forgot. Like, they didn't, somehow or another it got messed up, and so we didn't have lunch. And so we had one of our lead actresses who lived in Atlanta got the dates mixed up. And so literally we're supposed to be filming, and she sees something on Facebook about it, and she calls me and she's like, am I supposed to be filming today? And we're like, yeah. And she's in Atlanta, so she's got to get from Atlanta to Tennessee for us to film. So it was just this crazy day. But I just don't even know. I'm not always the kindest person. You know, like, I would get really impatient, especially at the time. And years later, I ran into this woman, and she's like, I don't know if you remember me, but I was one of the extras in your movie, in that scene. And she's like, I was just so impressed with you, because she's like, I'm not a Christian, and I've done some other Christian movies, and they didn't walk the walk, but you did. And I was like, oh, I can't believe she saw that, because I was thinking, you know, how short I must have been with people, because I was just so stressed out. And so it made me really aware of our witness to people.
Right.
And we had a similar experience with Summer of 67. We had all these people were doing the scene. It's outside, and it rains. I mean, we're talking this torrential downpour out of nowhere. And so all these people are just on our front porch, and we couldn't film. And, I mean, people had come in from out of town, and we had to film it that day. And it was just crazy, but we were all just having a wonderful time, just waiting until the rain went away. And some of the people didn't even get to be in the scene because they had to leave. But one of the moms of a little girl, she told me that night, she's like, you know what? When I was tucking her into bed, she said it was the best day of her life. And I was like, well, that's really sweet. And so you just never know how God is going to use you in the most roundabout ways.
Well, and he uses everything. I have a friend who always says, God never wastes anything. And I love that phrase. I remember years ago, I was playing the piano for a church, and I started playing the introduction, and I wasn't hitting any of the right notes at all. And as I'm actually just completely blowing this introduction, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how they're going to know what note to start on, because I haven't hit any of the right notes yet. And I thought, I don't know what else to do. So I just stopped, and I looked at the song leader, and I just said, I'm just going to start again. So I just started again, and it went better the second time. But I was kind of mortified, you know, because it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And later, one of the moms told me that a few weeks later, her daughter had all of a sudden out of the blue, her teenage daughter had said, you know, if something like that ever happened to me, what happened to Marnie? She said, I think that's what I'm going to do too. I'm just going to stop and just start again. And she went on to play keyboard for a big band. And, you know, you don't know, like, I've come to really view James 1 differently in the past a year, I think, even just 6 months, where I've really been coming to this point where, when troubles come, I just start getting excited. Like, okay, this is just the prelude to something really great that's coming. You know, count it all joy when you fall into trouble. And I've never been able to understand that passage practically. I've been able to understand that God was calling me to it, but I haven't really been able to understand it practically until this last this last year, and now I really do believe that God takes the pieces of our past, and if you would even just say the broken pieces of our past, and he applies them to the future and to this beautiful collage, this beautiful stained glass window that he's making. And it is absolutely gorgeous what he's doing. Your next one is, ideas are a dime a dozen. It's what we do with them that counts.
You know, in addition to making movies, since 2013, I've had a blog where I interview people and review movies. And so it's been kind of interesting getting to know a lot of people in the film industry. And it's so funny how many people and they'll say, like, oh, I'm working on a movie. And it's like, oh, okay, great, you know. And so they're, you know, working on a screenplay, and they'll say, I need your help. And so I'll say, okay, well, you know, have you read any books, or have you gone into any conferences, or, you know, what have you learned about it? Oh, no, I don't want to do any of that. I just want you to help me with it. And it's like, well, no, you have to work at it, and you have to study your art, and you have
skills
to do this.
Right.
And, you know, I know you've probably met a lot of people who are saying, I'm going to write a book someday. You know, like,
yeah,
I'm going to do this someday. And so often we just talk about it, but we have to do it even if we're not equipped. Even, you know, when God tells us to do something, he expects us to do it, not just to talk about it, not just tell people, someday I'm going to do this. We just start working with the resources, you know, whatever slingshot he has given us. But, you know, just like with David, he was using a slingshot, but God had provided all those experiences with the lion and the bear and all that. So he was equipped with it. And, you know, whenever I'm doing things, it's like I look back on how God has given me these different skills, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to do this.
And it's the equivalent of somebody wanting to learn to play the violin or the piano, but not wanting to practice. You know, I just want to know how to do it.
Yes.
I said to a girlfriend earlier today, I can say all day long that I'm an African, but the reality is I'm not. I'm a Caucasian. And
yeah,
no matter how much I believe I might be able to be an African, I'm never going to be an African. I mean, God could do a miracle,
right,
and turn me into an African, but honestly, I'm a Caucasian. And so sometimes you just have to say, you know, faith is wonderful, and faith goes so far. But faith is not going to overcome what God has given as laws, like gravity. You're not going to stand on the edge of a cliff and say, God, I'm going to jump, so I want you not to let me fall because I have faith.
Yeah.
There are laws in place that we have to be aware of. And one of the laws is that we have a responsibility, that we have a part to play in the different things that God calls us to do and be involved in our lives. And so I love to, ideas are a dime a dozen. You know, when we owned a restaurant and a retail store, I can't tell you how many people had ideas for us. They would come and they would tell us what we could do and how we could do it and how we could make all kinds of money. And after a while, I just started coming back with the one phrase, have you ever tried it? I just would ask just real simply, but have you ever tried it? Well, no, but I, you know, I know it would be great. I was like, yeah, but if you've never tried it, then it's just an idea. It's just an idea.
Yeah.
So I think to be able to actually put legs to it and to say, okay, if this is the idea God wants me to do, then I'm going to have to put legs to it.
Yes. Oh, that's really funny. That's a good response. I know that makes me think of, like, with movie reviews or, you know, book reviews, how you have all these people that are like these experts that'll criticize all these little things. And it's like, well, have you tried to do this? You know, like,
right. Have you ever done it?
You know?
Have you ever done it?
Right. And I honestly feel like a lot of movie reviewers are wannabe filmmakers. And so they're just criticizing because they haven't done it. And one of our filmmaker friends, he told me, he's like, you know what? He's like, you cannot take to heart all the criticisms that people will throw at you, because there's going to be people that, he's like, you can't take to heart the bad things they say. He's like, but you also can't take too much to heart the good things, because there's going to be people that are going to rave, and you're not worthy of those raves, you know, so you're somewhere in between those.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of segues into the next thought, which is the world judges us by their understanding of Christianity.
It's so funny how people, like, they think, everybody thinks they know about the Bible. I mean, non-Christians, you know, they know a verse or two, or they've heard a story or something, and so everybody considers themselves an expert on what a Christian should be like. And I think so often, it can be really bad because, like, they're confused. A lot of times they're very confused, and so they're judging us based on something that we're not even expected to be like. You know, like, have you heard some, like, it's funny because my son-in-law, he always talks about his mother's favorite verse is, God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, right.
He's like, Mom, that's not a verse. But, you know, I think so often non-Christians, they'll have this view of Christians and what they should be, and they're going to judge us on it. And right now, everybody is judging us on love, which, you know, the Bible does teach us about love. And so often we're falling short because they're like, you know, Christians are supposed to be loving, and they don't necessarily see us as loving. They see us as critical and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of hard to... And, you know, I have no idea what I was getting at when I said that, like, as far as, you know, what point I was making at the time, but I just know that it seems like with movies, a lot of times they'll judge Christian movies based on what they think Christianity is, and people will judge us based on their misconceptions, and they're not necessarily the truth, and we have to kind of be aware of that. And I really don't know. I'm sorry, Marnie.
Well, that's okay. Actually, yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. And, you know, I was on my way back from Asia last weekend. I was on a long flight from Hong Kong to Dallas, and I was sitting next to a man. And at one point, we started having a conversation, and it turned to God, and he talked about how when he was growing up, his family lived in the center of seven churches, and so his family didn't really go to church anywhere, but he would just take turns going to church, and he would go to church at the Baptist church, and at the Catholic church, and at the Mormon church, and at the Presbyterian church, and at the Seventh-day Adventist church, and at the Jehovah's Witness church, and so he had all this confusion
yeah.
about, you know, who God is, who Jesus is, what is the truth. I mean, it was just very so many different inputs. And he told me, he said, but the only thing that I keep going back to, the only thing I can come up with is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And wow, that's amazing. And I just drew him the bridge illustration of the cross being the bridge between man and God. And I said, this really is all you need to know, is that Jesus is the way to bridge that gap between our imperfection and God's perfection. And he is the truth. And he is where your life is. And if you just keep track of that, all the other things really don't matter that much. And so I think that, you know, the world judges Christianity by all of the things, all of the confusing messages that they have heard their whole life. And it's kind of like to me how they say a woman wants to marry the man who is a composite of all the wonderful characteristics she's ever seen in men, including her father, her grandfather, her uncles, her brothers, you know, just whatever the past
yeah.
is. She just takes all their good qualities and she says, that's the man I want to marry. But unfortunately, there's no man like that because that would, you know, be the perfect person. And
right.
so she gets who she gets. But I think that's kind of how the world is for Christians too. They really want a Christian to be everything they've ever imagined that a good person, a loving person should be. And our reality is that, well, I like how my husband does it. He clenches his teeth and he says, now this is me trying to be very patient with you. And that's like human patience. Whereas the fruit
yeah.
of spirit patience is not that way. The fruit of spirit patience is actually just patience. You're actually just patient.
Right.
You have patience and it's not you trying to manufacture it. It's you actually having it. That's the difference between trying to serve God as a Christian versus trusting God to flow through you as a Christian. And I actually love that one a lot. The last one we have is, when you're beat down so low, there's nowhere else to look but up, That's when we look up to see the face of God.
And now that is actually a quote from Summer of 67 that we had in the graduation scene at the beginning of the movie. And I have found that so often God allows us to fall down just so we can look up and to see him, because it's so often when we are feeling so confident and we're like, oh, I can do this, I've got the world, you know, I got it all under control, we forget about God. And we forget that we need him. We forget how fallible we are. And then something happens and suddenly we realize, God, we need him. We can't do this on our own. And it's so cool, though, because he is there, and he is waiting for us, and he's like, here, you know, I've got this, and he reaches out his hand, and he just picks us up, and a lot of times, we're down because of our own mistakes, because we fall down, because we don't know what we're doing, and he still, he just picks us up, and he carries us with him, and that's one thing I just love about with Summer of 67, our final movie. And it's a Vietnam War love story told from the women. And the cool thing has been the whole message is that God is there. Whatever happens to us, God is there with us. And I made it for a secular audience to be able to appreciate it, so that it wouldn't just be for Christian audiences, but that they would see that Christians still struggle. Christians still have problems. Bad things happen to Christians. But the difference is that we have God there with us and picking us up. And it's been so cool to see all the places that God has taken that movie in all these, like, obscure, these film festivals where it'll be all these horror movies and really raunchy stuff and then our movie. And I'm always like, I don't understand why they pick it, but it's so cool because it's people that would never go to a church, who would never, you know, probably willingly watch a Christian movie. And I'm like, it's so cool how God can take that message of, I'm going to pick you up wherever you're at. I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just that message of encouragement for the world.
I especially love the story of Peter walking on the water. It's just such a profound picture of how we are when we are eyes on Jesus, then we can be going through the worst possible storm in our lives and walking on the water. And then as soon as our eyes are back off Jesus and onto the storm, we begin to sink. And just how that analogy to me, I mean, the saying I have is just look up more than you look around. Just keep looking up. You know, you just, you can see that the waves are here, but the waves are not what are important.
No.
The thing that's important is that God's got us.
Yes. And now the coolest thing, speaking of storms, is I do a prayer retreat all about storms and how our prayer life and tying it in with storms. And, you know, growing up in Florida, I know a lot about hurricanes. And the coolest thing about hurricanes is the eye of the storm, how it's just the most surreal experience to have a hurricane hit you and you've got all that horrid wind and rain, and then you get to the center and it's blue sky and there's not a cloud in the sky and it's so peaceful. And then the other side of the storm comes and it'll, you know, have the wind and the rain, but it's not as bad as the front side. And so it's so cool to think about, as long as we're in the center of God's will and we've got our eyes on him, we can have peace even though there's a storm raging all around us.
It was interesting, just a couple weeks ago I was in Africa talking to them about prayer. And what was funny is I was talking to a group of women who had never been in an airplane. I mean, they're just living out in the jungle.
Wow.
And so I was able to just tell them with fresh eyes the experience of flying up and how you always get to sun. Eventually you get through the clouds and the sun is always shining. And when we're down here, we lose that perspective that the sun is really always shining, and we get all overwhelmed with the storm clouds and, you know, the hurricanes of life or whatever it may be.
Oh, I love that.
But the reality is that God is always there. He is always peaceful and calm. He is always sitting on his throne, and we have nothing to fear. And so I love that so much. Well, this is just so fun. I love talking to you. I love how God twisted and turned your life to get you to go exactly where he created you to be. And I love your stories. You have a website called, it's just your name, SharonWilharm.com. When people go there, what do they find when they get there?
Well, they will find that my main theme right now is prayer. It's kind of cool. I've discovered that throughout everything God has called me to do throughout my life, the common thread has been prayer. And so I hope that they will see that, and I'm really excited that God now is allowing me to fulfill the vision that he originally gave me, and that is speaking to women's groups. And so they can find out about me as a speaker and about my prayer retreats, and of course they can also find out about the movies. It's there as well. And I would love to, you know, I look forward to sharing prayer stories and guiding women in their prayer walks.
Hmm. Do you have a theme verse for life or a verse that's a special verse for you?
The verse throughout most of my life has been Jeremiah 33:3. And I just love, you know, thinking about how God has such great plans for us. And, you know, they're good plans. And we just have to always remind ourselves, because sometimes we lose track and we're thinking, you know, what on earth is God thinking at this point? But I'm always reminding myself of that God's plans are so good for us.
So that is, I'm peeking at it here real quick. Isaiah. I'm like, that's not making sense.
Oh.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things.
Yes.
Which you do not know. That's so cool. That's a great one.
Yes.
I was thinking about, there was, I was actually grabbing my Isaiah because years ago when we were traveling one time, God gave me this verse. It was, we were just buying the retail store and I was overwhelmed with the responsibility of it. And while we were traveling, he gave me Isaiah 41:10, which is, fear not, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. I will hold you up and retain you with my righteous right hand. And I had underlined, I will harden you to difficulties, because that's not, none of us want to experience so many difficulties that we get hardened to them. But yet at the same time, it's truly a gift to have a shield of faith that is so tough that the difficulties just don't even, you know, yeah, maybe you feel like, okay, an arrow hit. I felt that, but it didn't feel any pain. I didn't feel any scorch. I didn't feel the arrow pierce my soul.
I love that.
So it's really cool. God's got some great verses in there. Well, Sharon, thank you so much for your life, for your ministry, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And you guys, thank you for being here. Be sure to check out Sharon's homepage over at SharonWilharm.com. Also, you can find her at WomenSpeakers.com, along with about another 1,000 speakers available to you for your upcoming events. Be sure to check that out at WomenSpeakers.com. And then my website is Marnie.com, M-A-R-N-I-E.com, and you can learn more about my ministry and over there. If you are looking for more radio shows from 2019, you can go to TransformationRadio.com. And if you are looking for previous training programs, you can go to MarniesFriends.com. And all of these are available to you around the web as well. If you are interested in hosting this show on your website and putting a player box there, just go to blogtalkradio.com/perspective transformation, and you will find the ability to download a player box there. Thank you for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day, and we'll see you next time at Transformation Radio.